Welcome to the 89th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm Quizmaster Lee, and I'm joined by
Quizmaster Mark.
You forgot for a second.
No, just still wait.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
We could do a, this is just like a crazy new idea that I just had, but we could do a thing where I say, I'm Quizmaster Lee, and then you say, and I'm Quizmaster Mark, and then together we say, and this is the No No Trivia Podcast.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll just wing it from here on out.
Yeah. We can just keep doing this.
All right. Just an idea. I just thought that was a good idea.
It's cute.
It just came up to me.
It's cute.
I don't know if I've ever seen it before or anything. Anyways, we're here today with Seth.
Hey-o!
Back by popular demand.
I think that you guys arguing over who's going to get mentioned first and how you do things is part of the show at this point. I'm Lee, and I'm Mark. Just wouldn't fit.
We best not fuck with
89 episodes of still fumbling through trying to find out what the fuck we're doing.
Eh, it's a charm. It's charming. All right.
It's a beautiful
the
mood.
The roadblocks are charming.
Seth. Thank you once again for joining us
you.
Another no-no. I'm sure you have some great questions and insights to share with the world as usual.
I hope so.
But
I hope you find them amusing.
We wanted to wish you a congratulations on completing February album writing month with your family band, the Shy Tunas.
The RPM Challenge.
Yeah.
Yes, we did that again. I mean, it's mostly Jennifer, obviously. She is the principal songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
She puts it all together and then brings it to us and sets us down and puts us straight to the microphone and makes us, you know, get to work. She's the motivator. She's the Stalin of our group. She's the one that sets us to work. No,
wow,
she's,
man,
she's
I didn't
great.
Know it was that bad.
Oh, no, no, it's good. We finished, we had an extra day this year, 29 mm-hmm. days.
Yeah, thankfully.
And there's a song about that.
That's
and,
awesome.
And there's 10 more. It's 10 songs or 35 minutes. And we're going to be on the RPM podcast. They do two of them every year. Next week, that's going to come out, and we're going to be on that. But it's
We'll put a link to that in the show notes when it comes out, too. So if you're listening to this in a week from now, most people will probably hear it after a week. So just
other
check out
shows have, I mean, other radio shows and podcasts have already started playing a couple of the songs.
It's a family-friendly indie pop rock and rap. A little bit of everything.
Family-friendly music.
Yeah.
Just music.
Yeah.
I mean, there's rock, there's pop, there's rap, there's clips, extended clips of noise that Jennifer seems to take great joy in and that I find kind of goofy. And those songs tend to wind up being the most popular.
Hmm.
So the one that made it onto the Dr. Demento show off the last album, I thought to myself, boy, this isn't going to go anywhere, but that had the most legs of any song. Was the weirdest one that kind of made no sense. So,
which one was that again?
It was Trick or Treat Till You Die.
It
was
a Halloween
song, yeah.
My favorite on this album is got to be Daddy Wants Grits.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Daddy Wants Grits.
Are you Daddy? Are you
Daddy?
Chiller Daddy?
Yeah. Well,
they
Mama,
keep talking about it. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mama wanted blueberry pancakes. Mina, which is the nickname, one of the many nicknames for our daughter, wants pancakes. Rainbow pancakes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Daddy wants grits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we talked about this last time you were on the show, I believe. Didn't we?
I don't think so. It was written
maybe quickly and recorded. Maybe it was a conversation we had.
It was. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yeah, the chorus to the song is, so give me cheese grits, missus, so I can zoodle, waddle, doodle all day.
Yes.
You know, it kind of I want to sing it like, give me cheese grits, missus, give me cheese grits through the door.
That's exactly.
Right? Okay, good.
It's give me, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
Skinner. But you get the zoodle waddle doodle all day.
That is a
Shy Tunas original right there.
Yeah, that's Jennifer's songwriting prowess.
I love it. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So check that out. It's got, you know, kind of, it's got a home recording vibe. I really want a studio cut of Daddy Wants Grits, though. I mean, there's a lot of instrumentation in it, you know, a lot of good piano, a little Richard style.
Oh, she got a piano, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's part of, you know, why that song got written.
Right on. Let's listen to it after this break. We'll throw in, instead of our regular interlude music.
There you go.
Yeah?
I have a favorite.
Okay, what's that?
She got a Rubik's Cube and wrote a song about it.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that one yet.
It's called Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite from the record.
What do you like about it?
It's
like, what
just,
makes it your favorite?
It's catchy. That's okay. It. It's just really catchy sounding and simple.
It's
and
the
I
one
like
that stands out
to
and
me.
Like you get it gets in your head later.
Yeah, there's certain ones. The ones that I think sound more like refined pop songs, you know, 3-chord pop songs are the ones that I tend to like the most. And you know, that's what's happened. That's totally what's happened on this one. Is it's just a real simple song about a Rubik's cube. That's it.
Right on.
I like
it. Well, check that out, folks. We're going to put a link to the Shy Tunas Bandcamp. Is it up on streaming?
It is.
Yet? Okay.
Shy Tunas Bandcamp. You can get it there. It's called, we never said the name. It's Home Recordings 2020. That's the name of it.
Good deal. Yeah. Home Recordings 2020. All right. Well, before we get to this week's trivia questions, how about we go over the weekly wrap up?
Sounds good.
Okay. On Monday, March 9th, 2020, we had No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 279 at the Palace. Trivia Newton John started the quiz strong with a round one victory. Round two was won by the super team going by Shell Games, which featured among their ranks members of As You Wish, The Squeaky Chairs, and Quiz Daddy Dylan, all teaming up. They got the second round, and Solamente Joe captured the third round, Joe Latchett, with Trivia Newton John ending up on top at the end of the quiz with 87 points at that game. Now, Mark, you were out on Wednesday for trivia. Jamie was hosting.
Yes.
But Seth was there, so let's go to Seth live on location now at Nice Guys Pizza.
Live on location.
How did the game go on Wednesday night?
I think Jamie had Jamie earned every bit of his pizza that night.
Really?
Yeah, he had a loud couple of folks there that were most of your trivia takes place in bars where people tend to get a little lubricated and can sometimes be unruly, and I think Jamie had to deal with a little bit of that. But the
Everybody's
overall
all lubed
result,
up, huh?
Yeah, they were loose. But just to sum it up, the night was won by, I can't remember the team's name. It was Jamie and Fletcher and Kristen.
I was gonna say he won his own trivia.
No, Fletcher. Well, you know, you lump them together most of the time.
So his regular teammates won.
His regular teammates, Fletcher and Kristen, won, and it was kind of amazing because I came in like I normally do. I have tours on that night, and I came in at the end for the last round, and I tried to help as best I could. But essentially, the game, everybody in Nice Guys was crying because Kristen came up and fucking dunked on everybody with the last question. I think she might have been the only person that got it right and had all of the information needed to put them well over the top.
Wow.
Dang.
Kristen, really.
What was the question? Do you remember?
Yes. Yes, I do. It was The Simpsons is the longest running scripted television show on television. What is number two?
In the United States, that's true. But there's actually a Chinese... Wait, did you say longest running?
Longest running, yeah.
I was surprised to find out there's a Chinese animated show that has over 3,000 episodes that started in 2005.
This was a question I had.
Yeah.
It was it's a anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'd never even heard of it. But
yeah, I can't remember
it's
the
just
name
like
of it now.
There's thousands
It's been
of thousands
around
of episodes.
Since the 70s.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember you.
There was like
a
Disney
question.
Distribution deal too that fell through, so we almost got it over here, whatever it is. I can't remember. It's something tiger. There's like animal names, giant tiger, and then there's a anyways. The answer to the question, the second longest running scripted television series?
Yes, I suppose we would refine that to in the United States now.
Okay. Saturday Night Live? Is it animated? Is that what you said? No, just in general?
Second longest scripted television series in the United States at this... Well, now. He just said second longest.
Not animated.
But Saturday Night Live is older than The Simpsons. So maybe that doesn't count as like a scripted, even though it is scripted.
That I think that those were his words. Those were his words, and I don't know, but... you know, I think they're talking
about... It's
not
Saturday Night Live.
No, it's not Saturday Night Live.
All right. Good question.
Sus with me, partner.
Yeah.
So, The Simpsons came out...
89 was the short debut, I believe. It might have been... The series might have debuted in 89 as well.
It was 89.
Okay.
So we're looking at something that came out 1989, 1990, and is still out.
Yeah.
Scripted television show.
Yeah. Older than South Park.
I hope I'm getting this right, Jamie.
So are we.
I'm pretty sure I am. The exact
30
word.
Seasons. It's got to have like 30 seasons.
Okay, let's think ER.
Nope. I don't think that's even still on anymore. I mean, okay. I know it was on for a while, but...
I'm trying to think of like a television drama like that, because I know there's some of those that are like...
General Hospital or Days of Our Lives?
Now, I know soap operas have largely gone the way of the buffalo. I was actually
there
just
talking...
There are
still some, though. There's got to be at least one that's still going from that.
Yeah, I was actually just talking, you know, the longest running ever. Actually, I believe it's in the Guinness Book of World Records, is the one that my mom used to watch, which was Guiding Light, which actually started on radio.
Wow. Okay.
In the 1950s?
I think 50s, yeah. Wow. Guiding Light started in
and
the 50s.
And started on radio and then went to TV. And I actually remember my mom watching when a character who went off of the show in the 1970s came back on in the 90s. He had been off the show for like 10 years. And it was like, oh my God, Roger Thorpe is back on. He's been like gone. He was like this masked guy. And it was like revealed that it was him. And everybody was like, holy shit. Oh my God,
it's
Roger Thorpe is back.
Roger's back.
And yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of those were high drama, but it could absolutely be something like that. The thing is the ones that you mentioned started before The Simpsons, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, those have been around.
But maybe they ended, but they still had such a long... Is it? Is that
it
a qualifier?
Let me just say, it might have been longest running scripted primetime series.
Primetime.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's what it is. That's definitely what it is. Yeah.
Second longest running.
Second longest. Yes.
Primetime. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. South Park. There's like 20 seasons. Or is
it's hard to say no to South Park.
Is it? And it doesn't have to be running right now, because then it could be the Flintstones. The Flintstones were on prime time.
No. Flintstones was a really short run.
Oh, that's right. You always say that. I always forget.
I mean, I remember the South Park starting when I was in high school.
I think I was in eighth grade when it came out.
So, I remember Uncle Fucker being on when I was 14, 13.
Mine was Cartman Gets an Anal Probe. That was, I think, the first episode?
That was the first or second season, I know that.
Definitely in the first season. It might be the first episode, too. But I remember seeing the commercials and being like, I am seeing this no matter what.
Right.
That's still a great show.
Watching the show.
I love that show.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good pull.
Well, I don't know how much time we want to spend.
Yeah,
on
we'll
this.
Say South Park.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
Wrong. Yeah. It was Law & Order SVU.
Oh, fucking Law & Order SVU.
I thought it was
in the mid-90s.
Thorn in my side.
Yeah, but she got that. And I think other people, I think there's a different, I don't really know that much about the show. I've seen it a couple times. But I think Law & Order and Law & Order SVU are two separate things. And some people had just put Law & Order.
Oh, yeah.
And she got it right with the SVU. So.
It's a different series. I mean, Law & Order is a franchise, and it was the first show.
Oh, was it? Yeah, okay.
It was what the first show is called. But, yeah.
But
okay.
She came, yeah, they came out the winners that
so
Wednesday.
Was there a reaction? You said that there was the crowd was all lubed up. Was there like some kind of reaction to that question in particular, or was it just a general?
No,
like,
there were actually it was when I refer to that, there was a group of people there that were just a lot more rowdy, and a lot more intoxicated and showing it much much more than I think
you think Jamie had a bad time.
I don't think he had a bad time.
Okay, good.
I think it was a good night. It was a great night. It was good questions. It was fun. But I just think that I think that level of intoxication at that place before. I'm sure it's happened, just not when I was there. But,
I got
he
some
had
pushback.
A handful. He had a handful to deal with. That's for sure.
I had some pushback on Monday night, Mark. You saw it. Yeah, it was.
I've never heard such. I mean, it was booing that was on par with like like a political rally.
Yeah.
It was
wow.
Mm-hmm. It was loud.
Yep.
Almost Shaney unanimous. And I looked at each other like, wow.
Was this directed at you?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my god.
So the question that I asked was which organ in the body is closest associated with features known as condyles, which is condyles. Condyles. Do you know what condyles are?
No, I do not. No.
Those are the nubs on the end of your bones.
Okay.
So bones is the answer.
Okay.
And somebody goes, bones aren't organs. And everybody goes, yeah. And I said, yes, they are. And that is when.
And I mean, we're talking just.
Everybody except Trivia Noon John, I looked around and they were my friends. I saw them. I was like,
bones,
you guys know.
Bones are organs.
Know. They are.
They
yeah.
were, I mean, well, these people were like, boo, boo.
It was like the whole room,
like,
too.
Doing the thing like, with their hand man. Where they're like, boo.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
I mean, like, loud booing. Yeah. Now, I will say, bones are organs.
Yes.
But I can see why. Did you set that up knowing that most people probably would not think that bones are organs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a trick question.
See, no.
But it's...
But I could see you kind of playing the heel.
Yes.
Playing it up, wanting to, you know, juicing it up a little bit.
Everything landed where I wanted it to.
That's what I thought. Because I know you.
Yeah.
Because I looked at Shaney and I was like,
he's
loving this. Mm-hmm. He's just...
Wow.
He's lapping this up.
A booing crowd means they are really paying attention to the quiz, and they're really invested. So I take that as a mark of an engaged crowd. So that's good. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun to, you know, on a quiz of 50 questions, to have one controversial question and remind players, hey, bones are organs. You might have forgotten this
they
fact
are.
from school.
Yeah,
but they
may
are
not
systems.
Have never known.
Yeah. So yeah, I did relish the moment quite a bit, I would say. I enjoyed it. Not that I want to get booed at every trivia, but it's good to, you know, like, oh, okay, people are actually like listening and playing tonight, you know. They're invested. It's good. So yeah, I guess Jamie might have gotten a little bit of that too this week.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just he had to deal with
just a couple rabble rousers.
Children, yeah. Some big children. They were super loud. It sounded like Panama City Beach in spring break. I mean, it was nonstop that, you know, which is just,
right.
Gee, I'm really glad I didn't fucking peel myself out of bed to
go
to that.
Oh my god.
Bullshit.
Actually, I'm thinking about
Let
it.
Let me fucking
you
tell
you. Hated it.
I not only would I have hated it.
You would have.
I probably would have just fucking walked out because I wasn't feeling well. I was like just on my way to recovery. I would have been like, please stop. Please. If you don't stop. Okay, bye. And I probably would have just fucking left.
You would have had enough.
You would have exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on Thursday, March 12th, we had No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 280 at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. COVID carriers in the squeaky chairs squeaked out the first and second round, winning on a bonus quiz tiebreaker for the latter. Funoku took round 3, but our proverbial tortoise in this race was As You Wish. Took the quiz with 70 points. Mm. Didn't win any of the individual rounds, but slow and steady wins the race.
Absolutely.
And did you get blowback on this one too?
Hmm?
Did you get blowback at this trivia also?
Blowback? Oh yeah, yeah. There was okay. So my first
Booze.
Bonus quiz was Jane Austen novels. Now I know that Jane Austen is not, you know, a very widely read author outside of like high school students this day and age, but an influential author, nonetheless, a classic, an icon of classic literature.
Absolutely.
She's in the popular culture.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this was a 10-question quiz, and all the answers
And a residential bad bitch.
All of the answers were Jane Austen novels. So all you have to do is kind of create your short list, and you have, you know, there's only 6 of them. There's 10 questions. And there was some pop culture stuff thrown in there, too, so I felt like it was very fair, but... Somebody came up and was like, this is not fair. Like, one person wrote down Jane Austen, and now they're getting all these points for it. And I was like, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I feel like this is fair. You know, like, it's not my fault that you don't know Jane Austen.
Right.
Right? At the
you
end of the
got
day,
hard jobs,
it's
man.
Trivia. It's trivia, you know? And it's only 10 points, you know, at the end of the day, out of a potential 140 points. You know, so this game, it may make or break you. It may be the deciding factor. But I don't think it's unfair to say that it's the deciding factor, no more than any other, you know, one or two questions.
You got to come up with questions. You got to you got to be a sound man. You sometimes have to be a janitor. You have to, I mean, and and on top of all that you have to do, you have to keep people happy.
And I pulled this quiz out of the garbage, by the way. I wrote this quiz a couple months ago, and I was like, it's not good. I'm not going to do it. I didn't give it out. And then there was a second request. I was back on it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to resurrect this Jane Austen quiz. Make it something. So I took out some of the harder answers, put in some more pop culture stuff, make it fun. Out we go.
Speaking of being a janitor, when I left your trivia on Monday, I stopped in to see Kylan's
open mic
night. And I walked in and I saw someone walking by with a beer. And he was trying to scoot behind somebody and did the thing where he was like, scooch, scooch. And you could see the beer doing the whoop, 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 whoop. And then whoop. And then on the ground. And I saw him look down at it. And then he just looked up and then just kept walking. And I was just like,
yeah, no rag.
Because, you
anything.
Know, you look and you're just like, in that moment, you're making a decision.
Yeah.
It's like,
am I going to take care of this problem?
It's like you get all your groceries out of the cart and then you're just sitting there with a cart and you're like, am I going to put this cart in the cart return thingy? Or am I just going to fucking
leave it
sit
here
right next to this fucking car? Am I going to be a good witch or a bad witch? And
I don't even get a cart if I'm not willing to bring it back. That's my personal rule. I don't grab it unless I'm willing to put it back where it belongs. I don't just leave it willy-nilly.
Yeah, oh no, neither. Yeah. I used to be that person. I'm no longer that person. Yeah. It's someone you and I both know.
Oh. Oh yeah. Seth? It's Seth. I can tell by the way he's looking right now.
I'm not sure.
He's wide.
I mean, you guys just have this, you guys are a lot more, what's the word?
I do a thing as a personal matter of pride. I try not to use a cart at all. I take my bags from home in. I don't even use their bucket. I just put the things right in my bag and use those to carry my canvas
bags. I assign each member of my family a cart, no matter what small, how small everything is. And then when we go outside, we just push them out onto the blacktop at Publix, you know.
I'm actually going to have
creating jobs.
Fair enough.
I'm going to have metal hooks grafted into my arms so I can hang bags off of my arms.
20 bags at once.
Can't fucking wait.
One trip man.
That's the way you're supposed to do it.
I'm one trip man. All right. Well, congratulations to our winning teams and all of our other teams for quizzing this week. If you'd like to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, Monday, March. It's not the right date. Damn it. Fuck something up. Monday, March 12th, 2020. No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 281 at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral, Florida, with free bottles of wine for our round winners. Categories for that quiz will include baseball, Disney soundtracks, Harry Potter, The Office, retro video games, 90s R&B, and 2000s era pop punk. Death by Taco will be in front of Nice Guys back again for their third week. Again, I recommend the nachos. I was talking with Ryan from the Palace, though. He recommends the Rockefeller Oyster Mushroom Taco, which I've had, too. Those are very good. I would recommend them, but nachos are my jam.
Sheeny had them also and said they taste like seafood.
Yeah, they're good.
I am eager to try both.
They're deceptively mushrooms.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think. I keep calling them Rockefeller Oyster Tacos and forgetting that they're mushrooms, even. Wednesday, March 15th. 2020. You can see Mark Davis hosting at Trivia Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral, Florida, 9 p.m. And then on March 16th, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 282. Categories for that quiz will include musical instruments, Lord of the Rings, hair bands of the 80s, 90s movies such as Clueless, based on Pride and Prejudice, by the way. Or no, Emma. My bad. Emma, the Jane Austen novel.
Oh.
Messing up my own Jane Austen trivia here. And TV shows such as The Office, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Schitt's Creek, and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Hey!
And much, much more. We're also excited for Quizmania Wrestling Trivia on Saturday, March 28th, again at Number 3. We'll present a comprehensive pro wrestling quiz. Be offering several themed prizes for our top teams, as well as bar tab discounts for our round winners. What goes good with beer and wrestling trivia? Sausages! Nickel City Red Hots will be serving up their classic sausage dog sandwiches. That's Quizmania, Saturday, March 28th at 8 p.m. in Cape Coral. We've also got 80s Music Trivia 2 on April 11th and Pokemon Trivia April 25th, both at number 3. You can find out more information about those events and more online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us,
won't you?
Okay.
That might have been the longest weekly wrap-up ever.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be trimmed down to size. We'll see. I don't know. We had a long one last week, too. Whoa, this one is longer.
Well, you know.
And we were recording before that, though.
Well, yeah. We got off on a little tangent about the
Law and Order SVU.
About the boos and the SVUs. The boos and the views.
The boos and the views.
I think people are going to like it.
I think so,
I really
too.
Do.
I hope.
I think so, too.
All right. We're going to take We're going to take our first quick little break. Of the quiz.
Another in a series of 89 episodes.
Yes.
But is this number 89?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is like break number 270 something. We'll be back.
Mama wants blueberry pancakes. Baby wants rainbow pancakes. Daddy wants grass. Daddy wants grass.
Welcome back. We got some trivia questions ready to go for you no listeners. Who's going first again?
I'll go first again. Here's your first question.
Ready.
Might be an easy one. What was the name of the farm on which Woodstock took place?
Ooh. Do you know this, Seth?
Yes.
Okay. Give me a second.
We got to let you.
I thought Seth might.
Through this one.
Yeah, I used to know this, like, probably over 10 years ago. I feel like when I was in high school, I was, like, reading up on Woodstock. And, let's see here.
Got to give the people
something
listening.
Farm. It's not Woodstock Farm. It's outside of Woodstock.
Something Farm.
Yes, it is outside of Woodstock. The town of Woodstock.
Right. It's,
By the time we got to Woodstock.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Any hints? Can I get a hint? Maybe to help me with my sus? I'm just blanking right now.
It's a dairy farm. It's the person's last name.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of hard to give you a... it's kind of hard to give a hint.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
what
it
is it?
Is.
I'll just say... Well, his, I... Yeah.
His first name's Max. Last name is Yazger. Yazger's Farm.
Yazger's Farm?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I knew that. Okay. Well, there you go, Seth. That one's all you. That one's all you, I think.
Seth gets 100% of
farm.
Max Yazger's farm. Yeah. He came out and talked to the kids on the farm. I think I'm not sure if I have my history right. I think that it was supposed to be at a different place, and he kind of accommodated the people to let them come there. And he came out and he talked to, all the kids. And there was trepidation on the part of the people of the city of Woodstock, the town of Woodstock. They were really, really uneasy about having, half a million, what they said were smelly kids come there and just camp out overnight, and how they were going to handle it, the logistics of it all. But he came and they were concerned about it, but he came out and was like, I'm so happy that all of you are here, and I've never seen a greater group of kids get together and pull this off. It's like a little bit of the Woodstock movie where he comes out and talks. So.
Yeah. Definitely due to revisit that. I don't know if I've ever seen the movie, actually. But
the movie's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Didn't Creedence play at like 5 a.m. or something? Like, there was like bands playing all through the night?
There was. I think the famous one is – well, it is the famous one. The Who had to wait to play. And they played at 5 in the morning. Mm. And they did all of Tommy. And they did the See Me, Feel Me – Touch Me, and that apparently that was they Roger Daltrey was doing the See Me when the sun was coming up, and that's a lot of people's story about Woodstock, is that they were there when he did that. And this is another little funny bit about Woodstock. I've actually met you know, older, the boomers that have said to me, oh, I was at Woodstock and I saw Jimi Hendrix and blah, blah, blah. And I saw, you know, I saw him play the national anthem. And if you ever hear anybody say that from that generation, I was there when Hendrix played the national anthem, they're probably about 90% of them are lying.
Yeah.
Because Jimi Hendrix wound up, like The Who, having to play well into the next morning. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the few spots where the camera turns and pans out into the crowd, most people that he was the last guy to play there, and most people when the sun came up didn't wait, they left.
Yeah.
He is playing for an empty field. I mean, there's very, very few people there actually when he did that whole, you know, the national anthem and played his iconic set at the end of Woodstock. So
damn.
Yeah.
Well, good to know.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
When they tell me that, I'll be like, bullshit! Seth on the no-no said so.
But you're
probably right, looking at the footage.
If you look at the footage, when it pans out, you know, you see, like, just garbage for as far as it can go and a completely empty field and just a few people at the front of the stage. The people had estimated there were probably only, like, 5,000 people still left of 500,000 that were there.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy. The average, at Bonnaroo, there's 70,000 to 80,000 people that attend Bonnaroo.
Jeez,
there were 400,000 people that attended Woodstock.
Jeez,
and when you think of Bonnaroo as, like, you know, this place where they have like tents and like special places to get water and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's like a little tent city, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Woodstock,
well, not a little one.
People were talking about how there were people, you know, with hoses, literally like charging 25 cents for people to get drinks of water out of hoses, and people passing things of bananas just overhead, and people just like grabbing a banana and passing them back and stuff like that, you know, like very, very different time and a very, very different mindset with, you know, 5-10 times the amount of people as Coachella or something like Bonnaroo. Very, very insane.
It's funny because that is like, that was the movement. And now these are like, you know, the commercial versions of that movement,
right.
Basically.
I went to Lollapalooza in Orlando in 1991. Mm-hmm. And I think they said that there were 30,000 people there. And that was the first outdoor concert that I went to. And I went to it and I was like, wow, there are just way too many people for me at this thing. And I remember my friend, his girlfriend buying a chicken sandwich there. And it was $10 in 1991. And it was just, it was crazy. I was thinking to myself, well, this isn't like some sort of crazy Woodstock festival vibe. This is just essentially, it wasn't a shill, but
it was like a goodbye festival for porno for pyros, basically.
No, for Jane's Addiction.
I know.
That's right.
A callback. I know you hate me giving wrong information, but I love these wrong callbacks.
Yeah, so, I know you do. You know me. Don't miscorrection us. We know. Right. Mark knows.
Lee, right. Give us some juice.
This is a political terminology question for you guys.
Hmm.
According to William Safire's Political Dictionary, the, quote, active use of the president's prestige and high visibility to inspire or moralize is known as the president's what? The active use of the president's prestige and high visibility to inspire or moralize is known as the president's what?
Is it a single word?
No, it is a two-word phrase. I can give you one more hint. That was kind of the shortened version. I'll give you the whole version of the question. It was first coined by Theodore Roosevelt in 1909. So this is a Rooseveltism.
Big dick energy is three words.
Yeah. Is it?
I don't know if that's in William Safire's Political Dictionary.
Well,
it could be. Check the 2020 edition.
Big cock energy. Large wiener.
Enormous genitals. I've heard the term.
Can I hear that definition one more time?
Sure. According to William Safire's Political Dictionary, the active use of the president's prestige and high visibility to inspire or moralize is known as the president's what?
Well, it's probably going to be a verb.
Active use of the president's prestige. The active use.
It's a noun that it's a two word phrase that represents a noun.
Okay, so yeah. It's not prerogative.
It's the president's something something. It's like big dick energy.
It's like big dick, yeah, essentially.
You could say it's the original big dick energy.
Yeah. It's the turn of the century.
Or like big dick energy was the original thing and this was the second. Let's be honest. Big dick energy has always been here. This is tough. Ted Theodore Roosevelt.
What would he have said?
Well, first question is usually an easier one. I feel like it might just be like as plain as...
It could be big stick energy.
That big stick energy.
Yes.
What a fucking group of nerds we are to laugh that hard at that.
Theodore Roosevelt's... energy.
I don't know. 1909.
Mm-hmm. 1909.
Fuck, man.
Rough Rider energy. Rough Rider. I don't know. I'm drawn.
All right, last hint for you guys.
All right, go ahead.
It's based on the Dutch word for lover. The phrase is partially based on that. However, in modern usage, this phrase is misused frequently to mean intimidating.
I am so sadly drawing a blank on this. This is,
No, I feel like I let you guys down.
Really ratcheted it up a notch on this one.
I like big stick energy. That's a good best worst answer, at the very least.
You said it comes from the Dutch word for lover.
Yes.
But it is used, this two-word term is...
It's misused nowadays.
For what?
So it means more of like an intimidating thing than an inspiring thing, as the original usage was. So it's sometimes used in cases of like eminent domain, you know. I can't really say too much more. I feel like I'm going to give the answer.
Yeah,
here.
I think we're just going to have to call it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Sorry.
There we go.
Wrong.
All right. Here's the story. The New York Times cited theologian and author Lynn Abbott with the source in the following anecdote. Quote, half a dozen of us were with President Roosevelt in his library. He was sitting at his desk reading to us his forthcoming message. He had just finished reading a paragraph of distinctly ethical character when he suddenly stopped, swung round in his swivel chair, and said, I suppose my critics will call that preaching, but I have got such a bully pulpit. Bully pulpit is the president's active use to inspire and moralize, but in this day and age, it is often used to reflect some kind of intimidation.
How many points for that question, Lee?
I think I just came up with that one for you guys for the podcast. Don't feel too bad.
Well, thanks.
I would have probably rated that at a 4, but now maybe a 5.
Yeah, that was a tough pointer. One.
Yeah, that was a little.
Okay. All right.
I'm not feeling so bad about the ones I wrote now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of the ones you wrote.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Throw on those cheaters.
I did. They're on. I'm racked up here.
Speaking of that microphone, Seth, we want to hear that voice.
Women in the United States won the right to vote with the ratification of the 19th Amendment on August 18th, 1920. It would be 100 years ago. Approval of 36 states was needed. The 36th state solidifying the ratification was Tennessee. Although it wasn't needed, the remaining 12 states, and there were only 48 at the time, the remaining 12 states eventually, in years later, ratified the amendment. Which state was the last to do so?
It's got to be in the South.
That would make sense.
I'm thinking.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this again.
Mm-hmm.
Which state was the last to do so?
The last to ratify the amendment allowing women to vote.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe it's Florida.
Why did he say that again?
I don't know. I wouldn't read into it. Did you say that for a reason based on what I said?
Sort of.
Oh. Are we misunderstanding something?
You do the same thing. Whenever something is read again like that, there's usually a reason.
Yeah, I kind of got that from him. That's kind of what it is.
Okay.
I'm perceptive.
Yeah. And I'm not. I sometimes think about my D&D character sheet and how my perception rating is. It's got to be really low.
So obviously the two states that were not there, Alaska and Hawaii. Mm-hmm.
They're out.
Not I eliminated those for you.
Right. So I'm guessing maybe the only reason that he might have said that is because I said it's got to be in the South. So maybe it's not in the South. That's the only information I can glean from him repeating that. But my instinct was to go with a state from the South like Mississippi or Alabama.
Which did he say was the last state that was the original 32?
Tennessee,
which was in the South.
Yes. But that was the last to sign on for the first period where the vote.
Right. But what I'm saying is
that delayed reaction in the remaining 12.
Right. But what I'm saying is that if Tennessee was one of the original 32, then maybe it's not crazy that
36.
Southern or 36. Mm-hmm. Then maybe it's not crazy that Southern states were already fine with signing on first,
like following Tennessee's lead.
Yeah.
Or like. Proceeding. I was going to say
Tennessee was the last of the first 36.
Yeah.
So you can say that either they were the first of the last or the last of the first.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So perhaps my stereotyping is unfounded.
If you've seen 1776, New York always abstains.
Mm-hmm.
Courteously.
Yes.
So it could have been New York.
We're such nerds
courteously.
It could be Maine. He could be going because I'm from Maine. Mm-hmm. He could be picking on me and could Tim. Be.
Yep. This is meta though.
If he's getting meta with it. But he has gotten meta before. If I'm playing to the the writer.
So Maine or New York? I find it hard to believe that New York would be dead last.
I mean, it could be Florida. Mm-hmm. It could very, very well be Florida.
Yeah.
But I know that he loves Florida. I don't think that he would want to shit on Florida.
But he would shit on Maine, wouldn't he, Mark?
Oh, if it's the truth.
Wouldn't he?
I will shit on Florida.
Oh, yeah.
If it's the truth. Yeah.
Absolutely. But you get to pick what truth get told.
Yeah, there's an editorial factor here.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Maine.
Let's go with Maine. We're going to say Maine.
Maine.
Wrong. I like doing that.
makes me feel good.
I think you should have gone with your guts on this one because the first state that you mentioned.
Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly. They rank last in everything. Health, per capita, cost of living. They come in dead last.
You see how this metagame
fucks
with us, Mark? Yeah, we can't be playing this meta shit, man.
To be fair, I didn't even hear you say the word Mississippi.
Oh yeah, he did. It was the first state.
It was the first thing that popped
in
my mind.
It was the first state that came out of his mouth.
Damn. Why did you repeat what you said? What did I say that led you to clarify?
The last. They're the last state. They rank last statistically in everything. I mean, health, per capita income, cost of living. I mean, it's such a backwards place. And please don't think I'm just here to shit on Mississippi.
I'm sure we have at least one or two.
It's just the truth. It's the only state where people can legally consume alcohol in a moving vehicle. I mean,
what?
It's yes. I mean, it's just,
that's
it's such
amazing.
A, it's such a, and by the way, I will
not
say
not while
this,
driving though.
In a moving vehicle. No, but it does not.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. If you get pulled over in Florida, I do know this.
Yeah.
If you get pulled over and the passenger is drinking, they'll get a ticket. They can almost go to jail.
I don't think it's even supposed to be in the cabin.
It's not supposed to be opened. Yeah. No, that's open container. Yeah. That's the way it works. It doesn't, that doesn't apply in Mississippi. And just to clear this up,
the freest place in the
Florida
country.
Florida did not was not one of the original 36. They didn't ratify it. Every state that was in the Union symbolically ratified the 19th Amendment at some point, but Florida didn't do it until 1969.
Florida.
So Oh yeah, it's man. For as,
we're trying to change things down
for
here,
as
folks.
Big as we are, for as many people as we have, we're still a little backward, mm-hmm. a little,
just a tiny bit. Here's your second question from me. OSS, the predecessor for the CIA, stood for what?
Man,
no,
this is
correct.
This is a World War II era. This is a World War II era. It's, I know operations and special is in there somewhere.
Surveillance?
That might be it.
Special surveillance? Operation?
Operational surveillance, special surveillance. I think that's...
You feel good about special being in there?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Surveillance makes sense with what so they do.
I've read this but somewhere before. Yeah, and surveillance, that's what they do.
Did you say operation or observation?
I said operation, but mm-hmm. observation.
Observational. You think it's operation, though? I don't know.
I think it's operation.
Sussing here.
Yeah. I think I'm not. This is a
operation.
Weak one.
Water on the knee.
That was like my first introduction to body horror, I think, was that game. This man is like clearly awake, digging around, pulling out his funny bone. What if he wants to be funny?
Stop him. He's still alive.
And then you shock him. Yeah. It just seemed like torture for that.
Can I tell you a horror story real quick?
Sure.
I watched a document. It was a documentary series. I can't remember what it was called, but it was on Channel 4 on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And they had this series that was like medical anomalies. They had like the guy with like the skin growths that look like bark. Mm-hmm. Guy that like couldn't be electrocuted, all these like different
like an elephant
like,
man type situation.
Yeah, like all these different like medical anomalies. It was kind of different, but they have another thing where they're talking about people that were put into that were put under. So do you know that when you're put under, there's three stages to it? So one stage is they put you to sleep.
When you say put under, you mean general anesthesia?
Yes.
Okay.
One, they put you to sleep. Mm-hmm. There's another one where they make it so you're paralyzed. Mm-hmm. There's another where they make it so you can't feel. Mm-hmm. So there's no like one thing.
Right.
There's three separate things and they have to control all three. Mm-hmm. But one of those three things can not be enough and there's no way for them to know. And because of the other two things, there's no way for you to tell them. So they were talking about these people that like during surgery would
wake up,
mm-hmm. But wouldn't be able to feel and wouldn't be able to move, mm-hmm. but would like wake up and be like, oh, so I woke up and I could smell them burning my skin and I could hear them like talking about me and like my body, or like I could feel everything going on. But I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's exactly the nightmare that I pictured this operation guy having experienced.
I woke up when I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I woke up. They put me under general anesthesia. I woke up when it was happening. And I remember them, like, you know, jawing around in my head with tools and hearing things grind. And I woke up and I started moving. And I remember hearing the doctor's voice go, oh, he woke up. Like that. And he's like, give us just a second. And I remember saying, I don't know why I said this, but I do remember I was like, as 19 when it happened, I said, was it worth it? You know, I was like, was it worth
it?
Because it was so unpleasant.
And then you said, let me work it.
Yeah.
Put the
anesthesia down, flip it and reverse it.
And there is no more barbaric fucking thing than being a dentist, I don't think.
Oh, no.
Those fuckers just get in there with a goddamn just fucking vise grips. And just fucking rip. They'll just get in there with their fucking knee. It's insane.
My front teeth were knocked out when I was younger. And so I have had to go. Yeah, I have had to go to dentists many, many, many times.
Dentist, the mentist.
There were problems with it, and I've been to a lot of dentists. And I can, you know, if you ever need a recommendation for a dentist, I know the good ones and the bad ones. I went to a dentist. She was a girl, and she had just left University of Florida.
She was a woman, Seth.
A woman. She was over. Yeah. Okay. So, Her certificate was on the wall. And she, one of them, and she leaned over, she pulled back my cheek to look into my mouth and was holding that, you know, that hook that they use to like scrape your teeth, and leaned over into my face with like the hook was in her hand as she was using one of the fingers in the same hand to pull my cheek back. And she leaned over to look and drove the hook into my face.
Fuck.
Drove it into my face. And I went, oh, and I didn't want to be too dramatic about it. I went, ah, oh, like that, you know, to let her know that I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. And she leaned back and she went, what? And I went, you leaning in drove that hook into my face. And she went, it's not a hook. That was her response. Not, oops, sorry. You know, so
don't call it a fucking hook.
So many, yeah. How dare you call
it? You know your
hook.
Place.
Exactly.
Oh, I have this tool. Oh, in my hand.
So many dentists. Yes, they are barbaric.
And as a fisherman, did you learn a lesson that day?
Should probably be the ultimate a little
irony.
Bit more compassionate yeah. to
OSS.
The observational.
Next time you pull a fish out of the water, you'd be like, it's not a hook.
Observational.
Quit flipping around. It's not a hook.
You fucking pussy.
Get it right.
Operation.
Now go play with your friends.
Operation Special Surveillance.
Observational Surveillance Service. That's my guess. Yeah, I guess. That's my guess.
Service. I guess, you know, around that time, service. I don't feel like they use that too much anymore in like agency.
I don't think so.
Names, but Observational Surveillance Service.
I guess.
Boy,
that's as good as I can come
real,
up with.
I see why they would change their name. Is that what it is, Mark?
Service is the one word you got right.
Oh, my gosh. So we'll do...
Well, no, it's just wrong.
Oh, okay.
Their correct answer is Office of Strategic Services.
Oh, okay.
Office of Strategic Services.
There it is. Okay, so we basically, like... landed on that one accidentally almost.
On the one word.
Fair enough. Yeah. Guys, for my second question, would you prefer a question about corporate logos or Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
Corporate logos.
I knew this was going to happen.
That's well, why I posed the question. If you are really, really now, I'm going to be no help to you on Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
We're going to be a lot more evenly matched, I feel, on logos.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you give us the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah,
later?
I'll give it to you. I feel like you'll get it pretty quickly. I'm just going to ask
it
real
quick.
Lord of
the Rings question.
Excluding Gandalf the Grey, who is the oldest member of the Fellowship of the Ring?
Of the
member, excluding Gandalf.
Let's think about this. You got the nine. You got Frodo, Sam, Merry, Pippin. You have Boromir. You have Legolas. Legolas. So
yes, that's right. It is Legolas. Yeah. He's like over 500 years old.
Yeah.
Damn.
But several teams put down different characters.
Right.
Somebody put down Gimli. He's like in his 130s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was surprised in looking that Frodo is 50. He's like the oldest of the
hobbits. Hobbits are older than
But the rest of the hobbits are about half his age. He's like double the age of the other hobbits that he's rolling with. You can't tell in the movies.
Right.
You know. But yeah. Okay. So the corporate logos question that I have for you guys. Which entertainment brand's logo was refreshed in November of 2019 by reducing the design to a single color but maintaining the logo's signature shield?
Oops.
Well, it can't be Blue Cross and Blue Shield because that shield's always been blue.
It's entertainment.
Oh, it's entertainment.
Yes, entertainment
yeah.
brand.
Okay, entertainment brand. Signature shield.
Entertainment.
So it could be a movie company. It could be a recording company. Publishing? No, probably not publishing.
Can you read the question one more time?
Yeah.
Sure. Which entertainment brand's logo was refreshed in 2019? By reducing the design to a single color, but maintaining the logo's signature shield.
The company's signature shield.
Yeah, I think that's where we're getting the most information. That and entertainment, which I left out at the beginning. What companies have shields and logos? entertainment.
Shield. You keep saying entertainment, and I'll keep saying Shield.
Entertainment.
Shield Entertainment Co. is the answer. No.
Yes.
An entertainment company
that would have gone also would have gone through a brand restructuring in 2019.
Something with Harvey Weinstein.
Oh God! Which one was he part of? What company did he, was he Warner Brothers?
No. He was what's it called? Miramax.
Okay.
And other stuff too, I'm sure.
Miramax became the Weinstein Company.
Oh, did okay. it?
And then I think they just dissolved the company and sold off the assets after the after he was arrested.
After the episode.
23 plural. Years in prison. Bye-bye. Yeah.
That's just for two counts.
Yeah.
Bummer. Maybe more to come.
Hopefully.
If you're ever going to get sympathy out of using a walker, I think that's gone now.
God, there's this fucking tweet. Master P was like fighting with some woman. I can't remember her name. And he's like, yeah, tweet at me when there's actually a conviction and he's sentenced, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, oh, hi, just reminding you of this tweet. He's like, oh my God. He's like totally, totally the same thing with like Bill Clinton and all this stuff.
I heard those tapes of him. Oh, yeah, never mind.
Say Master P?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the rapper?
Yeah.
On Twitter? Oh. I didn't even know he had a Twitter. Okay.
Oh, everybody's got a Twitter. It's insane.
Now you got a Twitter.
I just haven't heard of Master P in years and years and years.
I hate Twitter. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's good about it is you can like talk to anybody that's famous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The other night I was watching YouTube.
It's like your Chef lips John to God's ears.
From Food Wishes on YouTube. And I just tweeted, Chef John from Food Wishes is my spirit animal. 2 minutes later, like.
Yeah.
You liked it.
Yeah.
It's Jeffrey insane. Ross liked one of my roast comments.
Yeah.
It's nice. Crazy. Hey. That's some cred right there.
Jeffrey Ross is awesome.
I don't know.
I thought you were roasting somebody in the comment.
Well, no, he'll put up a picture and say, roast this picture. So I, you know.
Oh, okay.
He put up a picture of him with Alice Cooper. Mm-hmm. And he was like, roast this. And I said, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy that you were able to hang out with Hillary Clinton in her winter foliage. And I guess he thought that was funny.
I would love to see Dave Chappelle on a roast.
God. Oh, man.
Who wouldn't have any more after he got done with everybody.
Who has a shield in their logo, man?
When you say shield, are you talking about an actual shield, or is that just another word you're using for?
No, it's a shield shape.
Yeah. I mean, that is used a lot in logos. Shape. But I'm just drawing a blank on any entertainment companies that would have shields in their logo. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, MGM has a lion. Who else? Fox has, you know, that big iconic Fox with the lights on both sides of it. Disney has, you know, Cinderella's castle. I don't know. I can't think of any entertainment companies that have shields in them, and that's really hurting me. And I feel like I should know one. I totally feel like I should know one. You got any ideas?
Entertainment is so broad.
It is. It really is.
I mean, there's music, there's art, there's movies.
You know, with record companies and things like that, we don't really see a lot of, you know, their logos, you know, because it's a medium listening, you know.
This is a big entertainment company. They have their fingers in all of the stuff that you just mentioned, Mark. It's one of the mainstream it's not like
a media
company. Yeah, it's not like a, you know, small record label or you know, anything like that.
This is the one that I'm going to hate not knowing when we give up. That when you say it, I'm going to
think of some big names: Paramount, Geffen, Virgin,
Virgin's on your channel.
Big names.
Capitol. They're only a record company. MCA. No, I think they're gone.
I have to tell you guys, just we got to move on a little bit, but I want to let you know, you've already mentioned the name of this company.
Really?
Yes.
It's not.
Recently?
I didn't want to say, hey, there it is. You just mentioned it, you know, so I gave it some time, but it has been sussed. It has been involved in this suss.
MGM. No, they have the lion. I don't know.
We'll say MGM.
Yeah.
The correct answer is Warner Brothers.
Oh.
Warner Brothers. Yeah. You know, they had the gold shield
fucking
before.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now it's just a very simple, tasteful, one color WB inside of a shield.
If you see the police, Warner Brother.
Oh, that only makes me feel slightly better, knowing that, yes, I've seen that damn shield.
How in the fuck did I not think of that?
The WB.
That one, actually, I did ask that at trivia, and nobody got that one, actually.
I wonder if anybody mentioned it.
Man, that sucks.
My head hurts.
Maybe one team might have gotten it right, or they might have gotten it right and then crossed it out.
Ugh.
No, that wasn't. That was a different question. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Well...
Who are we at?
You're at you, and then we're taking a break.
All right. Sorry, man.
And I need it.
Yeah.
Because holy shit.
I'm going to give you one that I think after that, we got to have one that you know, I think you have a prayer of getting.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a two-part, because I think you're going to know the answer to it no matter what, especially... I think you both will. So that after you answer it,
were you going to say especially one of us, but that you didn't want to hurt the other one's feelings?
That's kind of what it boiled down to.
Especially, well, both of you.
Yeah. No, but you probably will both know it. The Station Nightclub fire happened in February 20th, 2003. It was started by a pyrotechnics display that lit acoustical foam, resulting in a rapidly spreading fire that led to the deaths of 100 concertgoers, including Ty Longley, the guitarist of this band that was performing when the fire started.
He thought I'd know it.
You don't know it?
He thought I'd know it, but he didn't want to make you feel bad.
Yeah,
because it's a music question.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Do you know who it is? Because I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Like, I was like positive you're going to know this.
What was his name? Ty?
Ty Longley was the guitar player, yeah.
I think I know. I'm pretty sure I know this.
And he died in a fire?
But I want you to say it, because then this part two of this.
The Station Nightclub.
Yes.
San Francisco?
No. Providence, Rhode Island. I'll tell you that. There's another hint.
Ooh.
They had a hit song.
Or no, it was Warwick. No, it was Rhode Island. Yeah, that's right.
They had a hit song. Just
called Once Bitten, Twice Shy. If it's the band I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn Yankees?
No.
No.
Damn Yankees. Super group.
Yeah. Ted Nugent and Stitch Guy, right?
Yeah. The Nuge.
Yeah.
They
had a music video in a warehouse with Sparks.
Oh, yeah. Many Sparks. And he had cow print buttless chaps.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Man, it's so weird to
think. So sadly, it was not damn Yankees.
How was it that he used to be good?
He really was, man. He was really fucking good. I really did.
And old Ted Nugent comes on and I still
rock
out.
He's the Morrissey of classic rock.
He kind of is. Yeah, he definitely
is. You listen, but you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
The name of the band is?
Talking Heads.
No. No. Oh, my God.
No.
I feel like
the name of this band is Talking Heads. It's a good reference.
Thank you.
The name of the band is Great White.
Really?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Now here's
Once
the part.
Twice
here's
by Great White.
Here's where Lee comes in. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the singer of Great White? And I'm going to give you a hint. He shares his name, with a late 18th century reverend and hunting enthusiast from Dartmouth, England.
Oh my gosh. Is this the Terms of Venery guy? Or is this a different... This is a more recent reference on the podcast. Jack Russell. No.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
whoa.
I'm sorry.
Don't you dare ant yourself.
Yep. Oh, man. My mind is flipped. Right,
I was going to see if you'd remember that. Yeah. If you remembered your
own
question.
It took me a second. Yeah. It took me a second for sure.
Well, wow. That's a 2-hour first round.
But that was a great question for us, in a sense, a 2-parter question.
It was kind of yeah.
I like that.
That was good.
One of you I knew was I figured was going to
Great White. You
know, yeah,
Great White.
I don't really know a lot about them. What's their sound like?
Shit. Like, I mean,
like 80s, early 90s new cock wave? Rock.
No, hair metal. They're pretty much.
I'm once bitten, twice shy, baby.
I remember the song.
Which was a cover.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break.
Please.
And then we have
Composer
several
cells.
Miscorrections.
Oh, really?
Many,
boy.
I would even say. I would say many.
Oh, jeez.
But that's all right. Nothing too bad.
All right.
Like we're starting the episode right. That break was so long. It's like a brand new episode.
Oh,
it's starting all over.
It was quick for you guys, but nice, long, relaxing break for us.
I feel refreshed.
Yeah. That sussing. That was some strong sussing we had there at the end.
Boy,
my brain is tired.
We had to clear the smoke out of the room.
All right. Let's go ahead and kick things off in round two with some miscorrections.
Fuck that up.
Why were you looking at me like that?
Because I like rolled the note wrong.
Oh,
when I was
okay.
Doing it. I was looking at you with a look that I wanted to be giving to myself.
Okay. I thought you were looking at me like I did something
no,
wrong.
No, I was like blah bleep bleep bloop in the middle.
Why'd you do that?
Missed corrections.
Yeah. Okay. I was so confused.
I'm sorry, man.
I thought there was so much judgment in your eyes toward me. Okay.
It was all me.
All right, right, hit me, daddy.
Okay, we have a miscorrection here from Mo Nonsense.
Ooh, my tied for first for my favorite graphic artist.
He is incredible. I love his art. Who's your first?
Well, he is, along with another person.
Oh, tied for first.
Yeah. Who's Lee Brettschneider. Oh,
thank you. Ooh. I was hoping you'd say that.
There we go.
That's all right. I'll share the stage with Mo.
You got the both.
He's very
the
talented.
Top spot. Yeah.
Mo says, "What up, Mark? And Lee." It's me, Mo, writing from the Magic City itself.
That's
you guys
right.
Remember the Magic City, right?
Magic City, Miami. Miami.
Not Orlando.
Not Atlanta.
What episode was that?
Early to mid.
Was that like the first or second episode?
It was.
That had to be within the 20s, you know, I think.
I think that was like within the first five, maybe.
It's an old throwback.
Because that, you got very, very mad.
Yeah.
You were like,
that's not the
right
Magic City.
Might have been my first outburst
maybe.
On the show. I don't know.
First of many.
Mo writes, writing from the Magic City itself with a few nuggets of information, but first I just want to say it was awesome to meet you two at Mark's Trivia. Nice guys. Even though the questions kicked my team's collective arses, it was also a sweet bonus to meet Dallas and Kristen Fletcher, Seth, Elise, and others. It's like going to meet Captain America and Iron Man, and surprise, they just happen to be hanging out with the rest of the Avengers as well. And then we have a nice little bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup-bup here. Miscorrection.
Which Avenger would Seth be?
That's what I was just going to ask. I was saying, well, which one do I get to be?
I don't know.
I would say he's Hulk.
I was thinking either Hulk,
really,
or maybe Giant Man, because he's got like a whole bunch of knowledge, you know.
Okay.
I don't know Giant Man. I don't know that one.
Well, he's the same as Ant Man.
Yeah, he's a scientist.
Okay. All right,
Hank Pym.
Hank.
Yeah,
well, I like that name.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Okay.
Well, he plays Scott. He plays Ant Man, so he plays the second. Character that
but
becomes,
he also turns into Giant Man.
Right. But he's the second to inhabit
the
that
MCU
ability.
Is yeah. Just a whole yeah. Fuck up.
I don't know. But yeah, Hulk, I feel good about Hulk.
I'm not Bruce Banner.
He's smart too.
Yeah.
Bruce Banner's smart.
When he's not smashing.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors in the Avengers.
Yeah. Well,
scientists.
Yeah.
They know how to keep him around, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know? To maintain that power.
Don't fire them.
I don't mean to
interrupt.
All right. Mo continues here with his miscorrections. On episode 88, Monkey Buskers, around the 25-minute mark, Lee mentioned that he thought Ellen Page was motion captured for the role of Ellie in The Last of Us. I forgot the character's name was Ellie, too, in the 2013 game. Everyone else seemingly agreed with the statement. Well, it was actually actress Ashley Johnson, who was also the speaking voice for Ellie in the game. But Lee, fret not, because Ellen Page was motion captured and her exact likeness used for the main character Jody in another PlayStation exclusive game that same year called Beyond Two Souls. At the time, Ellen Page was quoted saying the Last of Us developers, quote, ripped off her likeness, and that it wasn't very appreciated since she was starring in her own major game title that same year. This led to Naughty Dog, the company behind The Last of Us, changing the look of Ellie in the final release of their game. Oh, and one last thing. The Cordyceps fungus Mark asked about us was actually the fungus that inspired The Last of Us's fictional zombie infection.
Oh, cool.
What if Cordyceps but people, basically? But I must inform Mark that it was, in fact, David Attenborough, not Richard, who narrated the BBC special Cordyceps Attack of the Killer Fungi.
It's true.
That's all I've got for you guys for now. Look forward to heading up to Mark's trivia again, either achieving sweet, delicious redemption or further dig my hole of shame. Till next time, Mo Nonsense. Nice little note from Mo.
What a good boy.
Yeah. We also heard from Dylan.
I just have to say, why would you not think that it was Ellen Page? I played that entire game and did not know that it wasn't Ellen Page up until last week, man. I mean,
I wonder if she was approached to work on it at all and said no, and then
they were just bitter,
went with somebody else, or if they just were like Ellen Page, but not Ellen Page.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure. Dylan and Eric both wrote in to let us know about that Ellen Page story as well from The Last of Us.
Eric mentioned it on the
and Gil, he did?
Eric mentioned it
in the group.
Facebook.
In the group, yeah. Yeah, and Gil, of course, posting a link in our Facebook group to the segment in which Mark just went off the rails on me with this like rhetorical defense that Richard Attenborough could narrate.
So in my defense, my issue was that you were making it sound as if it couldn't have been Richard Attenborough.
No, I was trying to tell you that it was David.
But were you 100% sure? Okay, that's all I'm saying.
In my mind, I've never seen a documentary with Richard Attenborough narrating. I looked it up, and he did one. He did one of a TV series. He did one episode where he narrated a documentary. Everything else has been fictional roles. And so in my mind, that's how I've always categorized. Richard is the one that acts. David is the one that narrates.
And in my mind, it is also the same.
They're brothers, right?
Yes, they're brothers.
Yeah. And from the source that I had gotten from, I had remembered it that they had said Richard, which is why I was like, whoa, that's weird. Mm-hmm. It's not fucking David? Because David Attenborough is usually the guy who does this stuff.
And
it. So I thought it was a little strange.
But
I actually meant to go back and listen and see if like I had misheard it, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I misremembered. But in either way, my point still stands that it was a possibility it could have been Richard. You had made it sound like, well, I'll have you know, it was David. And I was like, well, it could still be Richard.
Yeah, it's only Richard, though, if you're talking about that one 1984 single episode of the documentary series that he recorded.
Well,
otherwise, he's only doing fictional roles.
You know what? I'm getting rid of my David and Robert Carradine question right now.
Don't fuck us over with another David.
That's why it's gone.
So I see you're not backing down from this. You're just gonna, you know, take this place and say it could be.
No, I'm saying there's right and wrong, but mm-hmm. I'm saying in the world of possibilities that I am wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying I had heard that it was Richard, and I thought it was Richard because I had heard that it was Richard. It was not Richard,
but Dick.
But you were making it sound like no. There's no chance it was Richard at all. And
there
I was
really
saying,
wasn't. There really was no chance that it was Richard.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah. So I was right.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just go fuck myself still.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's see here. What else do we have? Aaron says, remember when I was trying to give an example of a thing that older people don't know much about, and I said Marina Del Rey? She wanted to clarify she meant Lana Del Rey, Marina Del Rey. I'm sure older people know more about that than I do. What is the difference between bugs and insects? I posited this question during that fungus question. True bugs have a stylet, which is a mouth shaped like a straw that they use to suck juices from plants. That is the difference. The bugs, it's not anything to do with their torso or body. It's the stylet that they have.
Okay.
And let's see here. During our talk about Primus's baseline, Mark, you mentioned a meme from King of the Hill, and you said that the character was Dale Dribble.
Gribble.
Gribble. Dale Gribble. That's right. But the character in question is Boomhauer's voice, not Dale's. If you're talking about the major one, now there could be, Mark, there could be another video out there where they did it with Dale. So I don't want to say for certain that you were wrong on that. But it could be that there is one with Dale, but the popular one is Boomhauer's voice. And Marissa posted that the March 10th New York Times crossword puzzle answer for 23 Across is Abel, the hint being the palindrome that Dylan submitted to our podcast. And the answer to 18 Across on that puzzle was Mark with a C.
That's my name.
Which is Mark's name. So I am convinced that not only do they listen to the no-no, but they're obviously trying to communicate something to us. So study that crossword puzzle, guys. Write in. Let us know if you see any messages related to the no-no, or post them in the Facebook group as Marissa did. And you can email us any miscorrections that you might have at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com.
When I first saw that, I was like, did she just write all these words out about the podcast or something? Because I saw my name and I saw that she wrote palindrome, and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I saw, no, this is an actual fucking crossword that has my name and mentions a palindrome in it.
Yeah, I don't know if we've mentioned on the podcast before, but this is not the first time there's been some recent crossover in stuff that we talk about on here, and then it shows up in the New York Times crossword puzzle. I don't know if it's the zeitgeist or what, but something's going on.
Planets aligned.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our second round of trivia, shall we?
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay. Seth, would you like to go first this time?
I can. Okay. I definitely can. Just 1 second.
No, now.
You got it. I'm on it. Turn, Turn, Turn was a song made famous by The Byrds in 1965. It features lyrics lifted from the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. The song, however, was written by what famous folk singer?
Well, I know the song. Mm-hmm. This is the 60s, right?
Correct.
Early 60s. So it's got to be somebody really of the prior generation, the prior generation. It's not going to be like Neil Young.
Arlo Guthrie was one of my like first thoughts.
Was that Woody Guthrie's father?
I don't know what his relation to him was.
Who else do we have? Hank Williams, he's later, right?
I wouldn't call him
folk.
I wouldn't call him folk.
He's country western.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a guy necessarily either.
Mm-hmm.
Could be like Joni Mitchell.
I don't know if I've heard any Arlo Guthrie, but that could sound like Joni Mitchell. What was the year the song came out? 62?
65.
65.
The Byrds
okay.
version came out.
Was Joni Mitchell active in the early 60s?
She may have been writing. I know a lot of singer-songwriters wrote.
And then they bloom after
the
fact.
Yeah, they kind of got big from writing.
Like Kanye West. He was a producer. And now he's Kanye West.
Now he's insane.
I like Joni Mitchell. I could see her singing that, or hear her, I should say, singing that.
Joan Baez?
Again, I don't know. I just feel like later, I thought she was the 70s.
I mean, no, Joan Baez played at Woodstock.
Oh,
Joni
really?
Mitchell played at Woodstock.
Oh.
These are all 69, and they were, you know, writing before that.
Is this Seth's theme, the 60s? No.
Well, I asked the Woodstock question.
Seth shaking. Do you have a theme?
No, not this time. Right. No. I mean, I've done that in the past. Yeah, and yeah.
I would say Joan Baez before Joni Mitchell, but I might say Arlo Guthrie before either of them. I mean,
I'll defer to you here.
I don't know.
I don't have a strong opinion.
Huh. Ah, man. I wonder if it's like not someone bigger. Like, what if it is someone like Neil Young? Well, I don't know if you'd classify him as folk.
Hmm.
Like, what if it's, oh, what if it's, what if it's fucking, what's his name?
Not Willie Nelson, he's country.
No, Fire and Rain.
Fire and Rain.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days.
Oh. What if it's the guy that wrote, what if Seth is doing something here and it's the guy that wrote The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Who was that?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot.
I guess it might be him, but I doubt it. What the fuck is
he's
James
been doing
Taylor?
Callbacks. Oh, James Taylor. That shit does sound like James Taylor.
He coughed.
Into his hand.
Where's that hand gonna go?
Well, we just have like a, you know, a plate full of folk singers now. Yeah. Any strong inclinations?
No. Not Joni Mitchell. She's the weakest of the group. Pick one of the other ones.
Gordon Lightfoot.
All right, we're going to go with Gordon Lightfoot.
Pete Seeger.
Pete Seeger. Huh.
Pete Seeger.
Really?
When he said, yeah, when he said, oh, you'd have to go back before then, you got to think what folk singers would have been before then. Mm-hmm. You got Pete Seeger, you got Woody Guthrie would have been before then. You know, there's
Is Pete Seeger related to Bob Seeger?
No.
No.
Okay,
no,
just no. Common last name.
No.
Spelled differently, too.
Oh,
I think,
okay.
Right?
No, I think actually it is spelled the same way. I just don't think they're related.
How is Bob Seeger spell his last name?
One E.
Oh, no, it is spelled. Yeah, yes, it's one
Pete
E.
Pete Seeger is
yeah,
two E's.
Two E's. That's right. Mm. You're right. I'm sorry. Okay. But by the way, Arlo is Woody Guthrie's son.
Ah, I got you.
Yeah, it was Pete Seeger. He wrote it in like the late 50s, and it was actually recorded by another couple of groups, folk groups, before the Byrds turned it into, you know, the what we heard and what we have come to know.
Cool.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, huh? Mark, there you go.
Whoops. Here's your first question. Who wrote The Count of Monte Cristo? I don't know if I've asked this on the podcast. I'm doing some repository.
Was that
Dumas?
Dumas.
Alexander
Dumas. Yeah, yeah, I think that's it.
Dumas.
I'm not. Yes. No, I am. I am now, as I think about it, I'm 100% positive. I think yeah. We'll lock that in as Alexander Dumas.
I feel good about that, too.
Yes.
And
it's about a prison break.
Yep. Yeah. How we doing?
You are correct.
Yeah. Right.
Good one.
Finally. Finally, we got a question that
we
felt good about. Like, instantly. All right. My first question of this round for you guys is the category is predators of the animal kingdom.
Ooh.
What kind of fish spits the brackish water of its habitat towards its insect prey, knocking them prone to the surface to be eaten?
Okay. That's, it's a name like anglerfish, but it relates to that. The name relates to that, to what it does. To how it hunts, and I think it's like an archer fish or something like that. I've known this before, but it's been years since
spit
I've
spit fish.
This the fish,
the geese fish,
the geezer.
Did you call it geezing?
Geezing when you throw the saliva from under your tongue.
But a lot of people would also call it, what was the other name for it? It's kind of like one of those things where, like, certain people from, like, you know, one area would call it geezing.
A regional thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other people called it, what the hell do they? I want to say yeeting, but I don't think that's what they.
Well, I've never heard
that's
that.
That's the modern parlance.
Yeah, I guess so.
When you yeet water out of your mouth.
I'll think of it sooner or later.
Yeet. Ah. When you've yeeted.
Get this that, out of my salivary
gland. I geezed while hosting trivia the other night. I was just so conscious of like all the water droplets sparkling in the light and everybody looking at me while I'm reading. It's like, oh, he's just spitting all over that microphone.
Gleet.
Gleet? Yeah, I've heard
gleeting.
That one.
Oh, yeah, gleeting. That's right.
I've heard that one.
Holy
yes.
shit.
I had never heard. No, it was in Florida.
Really?
But someone was like, oh, yeah, this guy gleeted on me. And I was like, did
I've
what?
I've heard
on
that
you?
Before, though.
And they were like, gleeted. Like, and then they did it. And I was like, oh, geez. And they were like, what? It's like, we call it geezing. And they're like, oh, we called it gleet. But how weird is it that, like, somewhere someone, like, told someone about it, and I guess like a game of telephone where someone was like gleet, and someone was like, oh, glees, and someone was like glees, and they're like, oh,
no,
all right,
gleet.
Gleet.
Wait a minute,
and like it just slowly like changes its name, you know.
It, that yes, I so, always recognize that as, you know, the spitting of the yeah,
recognize.
I think it's like an archer fish. I think that's the name. But it relates to that. And it's not spitting fish. It's not obviously.
It's not the gleeting fish?
It's not, no, or the yeeting. Or the yeezing.
The Yeezus fish.
The suddenly.
Yeezus spits at me.
Big conversion to not spit anymore. What? I don't know, man. I think it's the archer fish. I think that's it.
Can you tell me what it does one more time?
It spits the brackish water of its habitat towards its insect prey, knocking them prone to the surface to be eaten.
I'm like maybe 90% sure that this is a it's a South American fish that is from South America, and that it that the name relates to this, to what it does. I think it's,
well, he's 90% sure that it's a South American fish from South America.
Did I say South America?
You did.
Okay, just wanted to go over that one more time.
I guess we're going to go with archer fish.
My guess is archer fish.
Yeah.
That's right. Good job, Seth.
Thank this you. Guy.
Good Thank job. You. The archer fish. Yeah.
From Archer Fishville.
Man, that was that was a long time ago I read that. Long, long time ago.
Good stuck job. With you. Yeah. Good.
How about another question?
Okay.
Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm just watching out for today. You. Oh, I thought you were going to give me daps, but you were just picking.
Oh no!
Your nose.
Yeah, well, I have.
Well, you
this
know,
is
dual
a tight,
purpose.
This is a tight space here. I got little to work in.
I just watched the coronavirus dance across your knuckles from one to the other.
It glittered,
glistened.
Okay. Oh, I always have to ask a World War II question when I'm here. So this one here,
we always have to get it wrong.
Yeah, maybe you won't. Operation Overlord was the name of the combined Allied invasion of Europe that began on June 6th of 1944, otherwise known as D-Day. What does the D in D-Day stand for?
They landed in Normandy. Normandy. D. Normandy Day.
This is one of those things that I know.
Well, the U.S. land, I should say. Land in Normandy.
Combined forces. Right. You had, you know,
oh, US. That was the entry point for everybody?
Oh, yeah. Okay. U.S., Canadian, exiled French troops, Polish troops.
I didn't know if there was multiple entry points.
Yeah, British, obviously. Well, there were, but it was all on the Normandy.
Goof okay. troops.
Yeah. Goof. Troop F. F troop.
Goof troops.
F troops.
Gorsh.
Oh, yeah. Just drop some bombs over here.
Make sure you shell them.
The D stands for Donald.
My foot got blown plumb off.
Mama! Mama!
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's now going to go in the lexicon.
Oh,
of,
my Christ.
It's going to be your new Ray Romano.
tell my father I loved him.
Malks! Get back here!
Manic! Manic! I'm bleeding out.
Oh, God.
This one's gone.
Oh. If you do not edit this out, we are not insensitive to war. I just want to point that out, but someone's going
to
make
an opportunity to do a goofy voice of our tragedy.
Shit.
So the D stands for Disney, then. Disney Day.
Ah, Disney Day.
Donald.
Oh, get ready to blow up the whole island.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Do you think it could be Normandy, or is that just too stupid?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's Normandy.
Destruction of the Axis forces day.
Independence Day. Today we celebrate our Independence Day. Man,
seems like we should know this.
We definitely should know this.
Drop day. Gonna drop on in.
That could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a thing.
Mm. Denazify Europe Day.
That is not it.
No. It's almost as stupid as Normandy Day. Drop Day?
Yeah, I mean, Decimation
Deployment Day. Day.
Deployment Day. Another good one. Deployment Day, Drop Day.
I like Deployment Day. That sounds like some shit that somebody with some military strategy would actually say. It's Deployment Day, not Normandy Day.
What if D doesn't stand for anything?
It's like a typo?
Or like just like a code.
Hmm. Like maybe it's the fourth question. Day? A day, B day, C day,
yeah.
D day? Hmm.
Like a four-part plan?
It's possible. I don't know for sure.
I mean, just kind of a thought.
Yeah. I feel like if it was a sequential thing, they would maybe use numbers, and we would also be aware of like the surrounding. Like,
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be sequential. Yeah. I mean,
oh, I'm just sussing here. I'm just sussing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with drop, and I'm fine with deployment. I'm fine with it not standing for anything. I'm fine to continue sussing. I'm sorry, I'm rubbing all up on your foot. I didn't realize I was doing that.
Oh, daddy.
That's how deep the suss is going.
Oh, man.
Right down to his toes. This man susses in his toes.
It's good. Wait, I made it all the way down there. Feel it in my fingers. Feel
it in my toes. Is that Love Actually that you're singing?
Love is all.
The soundtrack to Love Actually.
Like letting go.
Gosh, if you see that movie once, it's hard to get that song out of your head.
I like that song.
Who's that actor? He was in Shaun of the Dead and
Simon Pegg?
No. He was he played the dad in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, I can't remember.
And he was also in the Pirates movie.
If you don't know that Love Actually is the name of a movie, it sounds like that sentence is really wrong. And like you should be saying, is that love you are actually singing? Instead of, is that love actually you are singing? It's like, are you from Russia or something?
Is that love actually you are
singing? Is that love actually you are singing?
Sounds like hate. Deployment Day. I don't know why. All right,
we're going to go with Deployment
like
Day.
Deployment Day is a good guess. And when I thought of this question, I was like, what does D stand for? And I guessed Deployment Day.
Oh, okay.
But this is one of those ones where you look it up and you find it out and you just want to kick yourself in the head. It stands for, and you were going in the right direction, Mark, Day.
It stands for Day.
They referred to it as Day of Days. And when the military was invading, they were timing everything by that day, meaning that D-Day was June 6th, and then the day after was D-Day plus one. D-Day plus two.
Look at that D-Day shit.
Plus three. And then you had – it went all the way up to D-Day number 338, which is March 8th, 1945, which is the last day of the war. And so that means there were 339 days of the European invasion, which led up to VE Day. So it stands for day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea that that was like – there was a whole timeline surrounding that.
I read a million things about it. And, I mean, and I never knew that D-Day stood for – I was like, what does D-Day stand for? So,
Day-Day.
Day-Day.
Day-Day. Okay.
How do you guys feel about taglines for products?
I'm okay with it.
I'm all right. I'm okay with it.
Which laundry detergent line was known for the tagline, ring around the collar?
Oh, I'm
Seth, you're an old head.
I'm going to get this. It's going to take a minute. It's going to take a second.
I thought that was like something you can contract in the game Operation. Ring around the collar? Operation.
Water on the knee? Water on the knee is my favorite.
That is. When people, that's usually something you hear older people say. I don't think I've ever heard a younger person say water on the knee.
What does that mean?
It's like it's
just collecting, I think, fluid in your knee.
Yeah, your kneecap's called your patella, and there's a sack underneath it that I guess can get punctured in your leg, and your knee will
swell.
There's a
sack above it, too.
And they call it.
I got it. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so water. He's got water on the knee. Okay. Came home with water on his knee.
It's got some fluid in it, too, if you want some.
Ring around the collar. Tied. What are some other ones? I can't even think of. I use seventh generation personally. I don't think I've looked at.
I've only heard this commercial a million times. He's got ring around the collar.
Shout.
No, it's not shout.
Tied?
I think it's tied.
I'm
not 100%.
Just to help throw some other laundry detergents at me here. I know shout, I'm missing some. Shout,
Ajax,
tied.
Borax.
Mm-hmm. There's like another big one, though.
Yeah.
It's not Febreze, even though I know people that use that as laundry detergent.
Well, Febreze does make a fabric softener or like, you know, like a, gives it an odor, like a gives off a more pleasant, okay. There's Tide. There's all temperature cheer. There was cheer. I don't know if they still sell that one.
Well, that doesn't matter for this question. This is an older tagline.
I think it's Tide.
Tide has a ring logo.
Yeah, they do.
Their logo is concentric circles.
I feel good about Tide.
Tide.
Tide. We're going with Tide.
The correct answer was not even mentioned. Mm. The correct answer is Whisk.
Whisk. Damn. Yes, I remember it now. Mm. He's right. They don't. I know. I'm pretty positive that's not on the shelves anymore. I don't think I've seen that for years.
I don't know if I've heard of it. I'm surprised. Whisk.
Whisk.
Interesting name for laundry. He's right. It whisks your laundry clean, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a popular commercial in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
He's got ring around the collar.
Right. And that's like, that just means like gross dead oil and skin from your neck getting onto the collar of your shirt, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's what that was referring to.
I think if you spend time, a long time wearing, white shirts, which, you know, we know that. You're going to see, you do see that red, I mean, that not red, but oh God, what I have on my skin, that
brown,
that
yellow.
Brown and ugly thing at the back on the, you know, where the neckline is. So, yeah.
Okay. And Whisk was wanting to take it. That's what it was.
Was
it like people like pointing him out? Like, oh, he's got ring around the collar.
Damn him.
Was that how it was? Or was it like ring around the collar?
There's special.
They had a commercial that said, those dirty rings, you've tried scrubbing them out, soaking them out, but you can still come out with ring around the collar.
Oh. Try Whisk.
Mm-hmm.
So they just like named it, I guess. They were like, what is that?
I guess that was something that Mad Men got together and came up with that whole. I'm sure they were all experiencing it.
Thankfully, many of us get to wear t-shirts now all the time. So we don't have
Thank
to worry
goodness.
About.
To our jobs. No kidding.
All right, I have a medical terminology question for my last question in round two for you guys. Derived from a Greek word for rushing down, what medical condition shares its name with a word that refers to a large waterfall, or in medieval times, a portcullis or window grating?
A large waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
A portcullis.
is a medical condition that's derived. The name is derived from a Greek word for rushing down, like the waterfall.
Right. Going downward.
Rushing down.
Going down. that's what she said. What things other than
anytime Aerosmith plays, I have to, if there's Aerosmith scatting on the podcast.
Rushing down, falling down. would it be erectile dysfunction? I don't know. would it be your blood pressure going down? Would it be your heart rate going down? That's bradycardia, but I don't think that's it.
Okay, well, let's think of it like this. Let's think of rushing down like a waterfall. So let's think of like pouring down, pouring out is what I'm thinking. So like
some sort of emesis.
Like
diarrhea.
Yeah, well, like diarrhea or like maybe like heavy urination or like bleeding out, like maybe like anemia.
Anemia. Okay. Okay.
I know that's not bleeding out, but isn't that like your like ability to bleed a lot and to not clot?
No, anemia is a lack of iron in the blood.
Okay.
things coming out. I think emesis, you know, emesis is technically the word for vomit in medical terms. That's emesis. Epistaxis is for a nosebleed.
It's an emesis from?
Hemiuria is blood in the urine. Shit, man.
It's blood in the urine.
Seth is just going through his glossary in his head right now. Medical.
Well, his wife is a nurse.
Well, she's actually a phlebotomist, but
sorry, phlebotomist.
You know, that's
okay. I'm really sorry. His father did win a Grammy, though, and he is going to record a three-song story today.
I'm very proud of my father.
To he talk all lot, about yeah. Grammy time.
He is going to go and record a I'm actually going to leave here and go with him to do a three-song stories, which is done by former guests Mike Canary, Richard Chinqui, Tara Callaghan.
Grammy and Grampy.
He is a Grampy. And we are proud
Grammy,
sons
Grampy
and got a grandchildren Grammy. Of Grampy.
So what else is there flowing down? What about some kind of like blood thing where blood rushes down?
What about temperature dropping? Hypothermia. No, that wouldn't be it, because we know that that's made up of thermia is temperature and hypo is slow
down.
Is slow. Yeah. Man, I feel like this is another one. We're going to know it when we hear it.
Now I have love in an elevator stuck in my fucking
head. I do too.
I'm like, I'm just sitting here trying to think of this. And I'm like, working like a dog for the boss man. I'm like, please shut up. I'm like, so what? Well, yeah, blood rushing down, working for the company. Whoa, yeah. God damn it.
Guess my time is right. Medical terms again.
Yeah.
Kiss your sassafras.
just wanna. Oh man, I don't know. I don't know.
Let's go with
I'm trying to think of words for portcullis, which is a, you know what a portcullis is, don't you?
Mm-mm.
It's a big, it's like when you go across a drawbridge at a castle, it's the big gate that comes down. That's a portcullis mm-hmm. in castles. So like the gate, like that dropping down waterfall,
like over a moat,
like, yeah, well, the bridge goes over the moat and then the gate that you approach is a portcullis. It's like
goes up and down.
It goes up and down.
Not yeah. like on a hinge.
Exactly. On a exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's a,
So it's a name, another name
for, maybe it's a name for something that opens
in medieval
and closes.
Times. It was also used to refer to a portcullis or a window grating. It's window used to grating. Describe a large waterfall, and it's derived from a Greek word, which
so
means
it's,
rushing
it's
down.
It's something that goes that exits. It's got to be something that exits. It's a term for something that exits. So maybe, I don't know, maybe diarrhea. Shit. I mean,
sphincter.
Sphincter, yeah.
Bunghole. Well, I was going to say, maybe it's not something that exits. Maybe it's something that keeps from exiting.
From maybe,
like,
yes.
Keeps closed. Like
would
rectum?
Be a sphincter.
Sphincter?
Maybe sphincter. I don't know.
Medical condition.
Medical condition. Oh, yeah. Not a body part.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you try hard enough, sphincter is a medical condition.
I'm sphinctering right now. I'm all puckered with this one. Jesus, man. Wow. I don't know. I'm. Lee, you've pitched us some real hard balls this day today, man.
In good kind, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. It's. But
I hope
this
is as interesting.
This one's
as
not
going to
be simple like D, yeah. Like day. This one's going to obviously
day day
day day. It's a condition known as day day. I don't know, man. I'm
medical condition. Let's go with
Mark just can't turn in a blank.
We gotta do something. We gotta say something here.
I don't know.
Just think of a fucking medical condition. It's something that is what? Keeping stuff from coming out?
Is there a name for, like, you know, uncontrollable urination or something like that? I don't know. There is a name for that, and I can't remember what it's called. I read it in Bossy Pants.
I can, but
Tina Fey's book.
Oh, that's it.
No, it's not. Oh. But I'm just,
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the word you're looking for is incontinence, maybe?
Incontinence. Yeah, yeah. There is. Okay. Right. Incontinence. Yeah.
The correct answer is cataract. Cataract.
Cataract. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well,
so the window grating is like the cloudiness, I think, is where that comes
Man,
from.
Man, the rushing and down then, really and then killed that.
Yeah. But that's where the word comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from the original Greek
cataract. Yeah, a cloudy
like
shade of blue and gray.
The hazy shade
rushing
of winter.
Down
yep.
Over over your window grate.
And the large waterfall, those are like those really wide ones that you see, you know, where it's just like, you know.
Wide waterfalls, like
yeah,
waterfalls?
Yeah, not yeah, exactly. Where you're, you know, you look to the your whole peripheral vision is like covered by the waterfall.
Okay,
you know, not dinky little waterfall.
Cataract. Yeah. It's a Greek word. We know that now.
All right.
Is that who are we at?
I think that's it.
That's it. That's it for this round.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're gonna take a break, then we're going to answer a question from Katie, what is our favorite horror movie? And we're going to answer that through our final questions of the round.
I am interested to know what you guys' favorite horror film is. I really do want
to. We'll
get to
it.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
All right, to close out our episode, we're going to go over our favorite horror movies around trivia questions.
Absolutely.
So I think I'll go first. I don't think I have yet. So here's my question for you guys.
This was proposed by somebody named Katie.
Yeah, Katie in our Facebook group. Mark just kind of put out a question like, you guys got any questions for us? And she was like, what's your favorite horror movie? And it's been about 2 months now, so we figured it's about time.
She has this thing where, like, she thinks it tells something about you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What your favorite horror movie is. Now,
that's
to be fair, I don't really like horror movies. I don't really have a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just picked one I liked.
Yeah. I would say most horror movies I don't like, but there are certainly several that I enjoy a lot. So I went with one of those.
I think you're way more into it, especially the artsy ones. I know that you like the...
Good. We were talking, I think I'm the only one that actually had my movie as the answer, right? Okay, so here's my question. Nigerian visual artist Balaji Badejo's only film credit was portraying an unwelcome guest in what 1979 film?
that's around the time. That's around the time of like that's like Exorcist 2. That's around Exorcist 2's time. And if I remember right, a better portion of Exorcist 2 took place in Africa. They covered like the whole locust thing, which ironically enough is going on right now in Africa. There's like a bad locust swarm that's eating up all the crops, and that's covered in Exorcist 2. And there were, obviously, it being in portions of it in Africa, there were I think it might be Exorcist 2. But I could be wrong.
If you're Christian, it's going to be a pretty crazy time for you right now. Locust fucking going crazy, coronavirus and shit, and you're going to be like packing up your stuff and saying your goodbyes.
Yep.
That's what Jim Baker wants you to believe.
Something up we see every day that could possibly be the Antichrist. I think it's Exorcist 2.
I mean, I don't think that's right, but I also don't have a better guess. I don't know that one of his favorite horror movies would be The Exorcist 2.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be his favorite. That you're right. That, thanks for bringing me back down to reality with that one. It probably wouldn't be Exorcist 2. What came out in the late 70s that were horror films? What year did Friday the 13th come out? Was it 80? I think it came out in 80. So it wouldn't have been 79.
An unwelcomed guest.
Chainsaw Massacre came out in 74, I think.
I feel like unwelcomed guest is a pretty big clue.
Maybe it is Friday the 13th. Because that's around the time that it came out.
But Friday the 13th is Freddy Krueger. He's the unwelcome guest.
No, it's Jason.
I'm sorry. Friday the 13th is Jason.
I know.
That could be Freddy. It just could be. I'm just making fun of your David Attenborough thing again.
Did Friday the 13th? No. Oh, man.
So Friday the 13th, it wouldn't be any of the big ones. I don't think. Because all of those, we know pretty much who the actor is who plays the main baddie.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not
Freddy
Krueger's,
your Mike Myers, your Jason's.
It's not any of those. It's an unwelcomed guest. What was the person's name?
Balaji Badejo.
So a Nigerian person playing an unwelcome guest. So it's,
I think it, man, what other movie?
I wish I knew more about horror movies.
See, he's probably, and the other thing is that he's probably going to go deep cut on this because he's a horror movie guy. He gets into stuff like this. And it's not going to be one of those surface movies like we're just talking about, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. It's probably going to be deeper than that.
Well, my hope is that he knows us well enough to know that if it was something that we didn't know, he would give us more clues.
Wait a minute. The Thing came out in 79. Is there an unwelcome guest in The Thing?
I don't know if I've ever seen The Thing.
It was Kurt Russell. Dude, you've got to see The Thing. That is a really good movie.
Okay.
That's an excellent movie. It's like they're trapped in an Antarctic outpost, and there's like a blizzard going around them, and they find this thing, and it can morph. I don't want to give too much of it away. It's a fantastic movie, but I don't know if there was an unwelcome get there. I mean, I know that movie pretty well. And
Are there any Nigerians?
Well, there's the guy that was in Something About Mary. The guy, how'd you get the beans above the Franks? You remember that? You know him. He was in The Thing. I can't remember his name. But
Keith David.
Yeah. But no, I don't think there was another one. I don't think it's a thing, but that came out in either 79 or 80. I don't know, man. This is really hard. This is really hard also because there's all kinds of things swirling around that from that time period. There's a lot of movies came out that time. It's either I'm forgetting a scene in The Thing or it's Friday the 13th and we're forgetting a scene where, you know.
I mean, I guess it could be a movie like that and he's, this person's an unwelcome guest that isn't Freddy, you know what I mean, or Jason or whatever.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm rationalizing it about the thing is because the creature in the thing can morph into any person that's there.
Could it be Basket Case? Could it be Critters? Could it be...
I think Critters was a little later.
You know...
I think.
Leprechaun. Could it be...
No, it's not Leprechaun.
You know, I'm just trying to think of kind of like famous campy... Because I know he likes campy stuff.
Yeah. I don't think it's any one of those. I don't know.
Could it be... When did Cannibal Holocaust come out?
You know what, man? I don't know that. I don't know that one. I'm sorry. Something in my gut is telling me to go with Friday the 13th. And that sounds strange, but something's telling me to do that.
Cannibal Holocaust was fucked up. It's a horror movie.
Would it come out in 79?
I don't know when it came out. It came out in the 70s, but it was like bad. And it was actually like...
I do remember reading about this one. Yes, I do.
It was like panned because they actually killed... And I think it took place maybe in
South America?
Or no. It was South America or Africa or something like that. Maybe it was South America, actually. Yeah. Shit. I was thinking maybe it was Africa. If your gut's saying Friday the 13th, then we can go with that.
Something's telling me. I think it might be.
All right, we're going to go with Friday the 13th.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
The Thing came out in 1982.
Ah, okay.
Cannibal Holocaust, 1980.
Mm. Oh.
In 1979, at 6'10", discovered by a member of Ridley Scott's casting team while in a bar, Balaji Badejo played the xenomorph
in Alien. Fuck, I should have
known
that. I totally should have known that.
Mm-hmm. And dude, it's so hard.
Seth just 79. Shook his fists at the heavens.
I'm shaking my tiny fist at the kids on my lawn. Damn it. I should have known that. God damn
yeah,
it.
I love Alien.
I
even love the franchise. I'll take any Alien I can get, basically.
Am I supposed to go next? Are you next?
Yes.
Okay. You're next. Yeah. Because my question is also about Alien.
Whoa! Nice.
Because I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, you know,
talk about
movies.
Should have known it.
And I know. No kidding. I'm like, it's 79. It didn't occur to me because, like, I didn't think we'd both be asking questions about Alien. And yeah, it came out in 79. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I questioned when you said, oh, you know, a question about horror movies. I'm like, mm-hmm. Is Alien a horror movie?
The first one, most certainly.
Yeah, the first one's definitely is. But actually, a lot of people say Alien's the best one. And I agree, it's good. But I think Alien 2 is like right on par with
Aliens.
Aliens. Yes. You're correct. Mm-hmm. Aliens. Mm-hmm. I think it's like right on par with it. I loved Aliens.
Yeah. Me too. Different feel, though.
And you asked a question a long time ago that I got that I was like, oh, shit, I've only seen it 1,000 times and I got it right. It was, what is the android in Aliens, which inspired this question.
Okay.
So, but it is from my favorite horror movie is Aliens. Definitely. Okay. Ellen Ripley is dropped onto an exomoon with a group of colonial marines to investigate a terraforming station that has stopped communication. There's the plot for Aliens.
Yeah.
While investigating, they find a lone survivor, a small girl. What is her name?
Mark?
Nope.
I know this.
Take me home.
Her name is Newt.
Correct.
Yes. Yep. Got to go a little deeper on the Aliens trivia.
Sorry,
for me.
Man.
No, it's all good. Yeah. That's but I'm glad that we have this mutual admiration for the Aliens movies.
I love that movie.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't ask me the name of the station or anything else for Aliens.
You guys can crack open a couple of note sodas and talk about the Aliens franchise.
Did you play the last video game, Seth, or did you see it?
No, I didn't. No.
I mean, it's pretty good for.
I never got into. As a matter of
fact, video games are never good for Aliens, but this one was okay. I can't remember what it's called. But.
All of the sequels, I never really got into, like Resurrection. I didn't really think much of. Alien vs. Predator, I tried to watch and just couldn't do it. However, Prometheus, I loved.
Yep.
Very good.
I actually haven't seen Alien Covenant, the newest one.
I haven't yet, either. I haven't either. I got to give it a chance.
I'll do it this weekend.
All right. Here's the last question of the day.
Okay.
As I said, not a huge horror movie guy. The movie I picked was Freddy vs. Jason. Fun movie.
Yeah.
I liked that it combined the two horror franchises after a long time of them being separate.
I wonder if we saw that together.
We might have.
Hold on. The theater.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want that, me to hold on or go ahead?
Ironically, I'm sorry.
What
ironically,
do you want from me, Seth?
I'm trying to.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Hold on. Go ahead. Stop. Make it up. Get something.
Bop it.
Taste
twist
this.
It.
Stop. Okay.
Go forward. Move ahead.
I believe that this is the first movie that I went to go see with my now wife, Jennifer, the lovely songwriter and matriarch of the Shy Tunas. I think this was.
This
I
was
think
long.
It came out in 2002.
2003.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. There you go. So I think this is like the first movie we went to see together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what do we got question wise?
Well, first of all, one of the reasons I picked this movie is because there is a character in the movie named Mark Davis.
Okay. Oh, okay. I don't remember.
So
that,
it has a
special, cool. Yeah.
Special place in my heart. Aww. They actually do mention it while they're inside a school. Hmm. They mention the name Mark Davis over, I believe, an intercom.
Oh, he's an off-screen character?
No, he's an on-screen character, but they mention his full name.
Off-screen would be cool because then you'd be like, that's me.
But I also thought this would be a good fuck.
A good fuck movie.
Of course it'll be a good fuck.
This we're going to be fuck. A good fuck.
I'm going to put on Freddy vs. Jason. We're going to fuck.
It's you and your first date.
Yeah. Seeing the two of them. Seeing the two of them have sex.
Well, you're supposed would be to be a there funny for it, susser. Aren't you?
Okay. What's sus?
Freddy vs. Jason is what number in each movie's franchise?
Separately.
Separately.
Oh. I think in the Friday the 13th, it's like 7 or 8. Because it's...
Those are in parts, right? It's Friday the 13th, part 2, part 3.
Yes, exactly. Jason Takes Manhattan and shit like that, you know? Mm-hmm. I think in Friday the 13th, it's like 8. I think it's less in Nightmare on Elm Street. Probably like 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
There is 6, I think.
I think. I'm not sure.
6 was like...
See, I don't know.
There's something weird about...
Well.
They were like, for 6, they were like, let's reboot it, but it still be a sequel, and then everybody did not care at that
I will
point.
Tell you this.
Yeah.
Both of them were rebooted after this.
Right. I don't mean a reboot, because it was part 6.
So maybe go a little
bit
further
like,
down on Friday.
It was something weird about it.
I mean, on Nightmare on Elm Street. Maybe go a little further down, like maybe 5 or 4. I don't know.
No,
I don't think
no,
it's 4. It's probably 5.
I really feel like there was 6
really?
Original
okay.
Friday or Nightmare on Elm Street.
I know there were a
I could
lot,
be wrong.
There were a lot of Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. And ironically
well,
enough,
Jason
this is
in
Friday
space,
the 13th.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
It is Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
What the yeah.
Shit. Hi. What a perfect cap.
Yeah. It's like you planned it.
And I didn't.
I was hoping that you were going to ask who won. I mean, I guess it's still...
There is...
Spoiler alert.
Was it... Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Was it
for Friday
definitive?
For Freddy vs. Jason.
Well, there's, Jason has Freddy's severed head.
Yes.
That's
so
right.
So I think that... But then his head winks.
Yep.
And you hear him laugh.
It's almost the perfect ending for that movie, in a
now,
sense.
Now, originally, they wanted to have Pinhead involved in the ending. But New Line didn't want to get involved with getting the rights or whatever. Hmm. The fact that Leatherface wasn't brought into it is kind of a bummer because I think that Leatherface would be.
Well, we'll see how Space Jam 2 does with these rumors of these. Have you seen the rumored characters in Space Jam 2?
No.
Oh. So apparently, spoiler alert again. I don't know. This movie hasn't come out, but there's leaked footage that shows Pennywise. And the mask, Jim Carrey as the mask
in Space Jam 2.
So maybe this will spawn a new
kind of
ensemble movie thing, and maybe we'll get Freddy versus
I wonder if
Jason
they're
going
to bail
Leatherface.
R. Kelly out of jail to write another song.
You know, maybe I take that back about Leatherface, though, because I guess Leatherface exists in a very real world.
Yeah.
I mean,
as opposed
Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on
Ed Gein, which,
right.
Yes. I mean... Which I almost did a Texas Chainsaw Massacre question because I do really like that movie. Mm-hmm. But so much has been done about that. So I didn't. I will tell you that the original one of the original working titles for Leatherface was head cheese. Mm. That was going to be my original question.
Okay.
Have you ever seen head cheese?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I saw a picture of it after talking about it.
It is very
creepy. Think on the podcast or somewhere. It was disgusting. Anyway.
So they stopped numbering the Friday the 13th movies at a certain point.
And I think it was
Jason
like
in Space and all that. And those came out before Freddy versus Jason. So
maybe our numbers, maybe 8 is short.
I feel like Jason X was Jason in Space.
Okay, so that's like Jason 10?
Exactly.
Okay, I wouldn't doubt that there were more than 8. I mean,
that might have been the last one that they did before. They were like, all right, we've sent him to space.
They milked that series for all it's worth. Definitely did.
So we'll say it's the 11th Friday the 13th movie.
That's a good guess.
And the 7th Nightmare on Elm Street?
I would go with that, yeah.
11
especially
and 7.
Since you know more about the horror movies than I do. But
7-11.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yes.
So close. Oh. 11th and 8th.
Ooh, there's a part 7 of Nightmare on Elm Street.
11th and 8th.
Damn. That was good, though, man. That was a very
good I'm really glad you realized the Jason X, because I was kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. Jason X was their big thing where they tried to make this big push.
Right.
And when you kind of like undersold the Jason franchise, you know, I was like, man, there was at least 10
right
with Jason in Space, which was a huge flop. Lost them a lot of money.
Didn't have like Busta Rhymes in it. That was Halloween.
I didn't even know that H2O. Existed.
There was a rapper, I think, in Jason in Space.
That would not surprise me.
Ja Rule.
No, too early for him.
Get Ja on the phone.
It wasn't LL Cool J. He was in Deep Blue Sea.
Where's Ja at?
Ice Cube was in Anaconda.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Along with J-Lo.
Uh-huh. It had, let's see here. It doesn't mention...
No rapper.
Starring Lex Doig, Lisa Ryder.
Lex Doig.
Chuck Campbell.
Wow. These actors did nothing for their careers by being in this movie.
Yeah, grossed $17 million on a budget of $11 to $14 million.
Well, they made their money back.
Barely.
Shit.
By the way, Alien, $78 million, big box office hit.
Oh yeah,
that was going to be a clue that I was going to give you. Like, don't go.
Such a good movie.
You know,
David Cronenberg was in Jason X
cameo.
Yeah, as Dr. Wimmer.
Wow,
that's awesome. Now that I want to see strange. It. That makes me want to see it.
What was that movie that he made in the '80s that was big? What was it?
Videodrome?
Ringers.
Oh.
No, not Ringers.
Scanners.
Well, Videodromes. Yeah.
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 With the head exploding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Scanners. Oh, that was good.
Oh, man. Scanners.
And he also directed The Fly.
Oh, did he really?
Well, the '80s remake with Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm. See, I loved that. That was really good. That's like right up there with one of my favorites as well.
Yep.
However, right after that movie came out, I hated that movie because everybody went around calling me Seth Brendelfly because
his name is Seth.
Yeah, his
right?
name was Seth. And at that time, nobody had heard the name Seth. It was a very unusual name. And his name was Seth in the movie. And people are running around, oh, Seth Brendelfly. And I was like, well, I haven't heard that yet. Oh,
you developed an aversion to it.
Kind of. Yeah, but it is a really good movie.
Also, do have to say the meme with Jeff Goldblum inside the thing that says pretty fly for a white guy is pretty ingenious.
Damn, I haven't seen that.
It is.
That's good. All right.
With
Seth.
The dog turned into that movie. It was so gross. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, wait. What?
We got the answer. We went so far beyond. I hope everybody stays safe out there with your the things. Go ahead.
You said you had one more, right?
I do have another
throw it at
one
us
if
real
you
quick.
Want it.
Jesus, man. Give us another damn question.
I got
one last question.
And this is kind of angled at, I think, you a little bit more.
Who's you?
You.
Oh, me.
Right over there. Yeah. I should say Lee. I'm sorry. This is not a visual medium. I do need to point this out. It was kind of written more with you in mind.
All right.
No
pressure.
This French artist and sculptor, born in 1848 in Paris, was a contemporary of Cézanne and Van Gogh. In the last 10 years of his life, he made a series of trips to French Polynesia, where he found many of his subjects for his artwork. He eventually settled there and died in 1903. What was his name?
It's Polynesian. Subject matter,
mm-hmm.
basically French-born,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. a contemporary of Cézanne.
You said painter and sculptor.
Painter and sculptor, mostly known for paintings.
Hmm.
Cicero.
Hmm.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Lipschitz.
I guarantee you've heard this name.
Yeah.
You wanted it. You got it, buddy. Yeah,
I regret. I have regret.
Could have ended on a almost got it. Yeah. Now you're going to end up on a... You used to teach about art in college. Yeah. Now you look like a big ass ding dong.
I feel red. Is it? I think I was going to say Boltero, but I think he's Spanish, and I'm not even sure if that's his name. Polynesian subject matter. That is what's throwing me off. I'm like, all I can think about is like Lilo and Stitch right now.
I'm still singing Love in an Elevator for fucking.
No kidding. It's that's still in my head as well.
I don't know. French. Alexander Dumas? I have no idea.
Who is it?
What's going wrong? It's Paul Gauguin.
Gauguin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Gauguin.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's that great.
Polynesian fetishist.
He really did have one. I mean, he just went there and just took off with sculptures and paintings of... he made one called Who Am I? Why Am I Here? Where Am I Going? I might have the title of that wrong. Yeah. But it's a scene of... I think it's Tahiti, Papeete. Of like Polynesian islanders, just it's a scene of them, you know, and it's real famous. It's up in Boston now, but oddly enough, he was he had written that he stayed for a little while with Vincent van Gogh, who he found to be a little bit crazy. Go figure.
Yeah, I haven't seen
and
this.
He moved out, or I mean, he left the place that he was at with him because he threatened him with a straight razor, and apparently that same day, that evening, he cut his ear off with the same straight razor.
Damn.
According to Gauguin, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but there's that new Van Gogh movie it came out last year with Willem Dafoe.
I'm dying to see it.
And I think that scene or Gauguin, I think, is in the movie as a character.
I'm probably going to watch that tonight. You know, I have a 7 or 8 year old, I should say 8 year old. So I have to go through the full complement of Disney Pixar movies, you know, and they takes away from my. Yeah, so, but I want to see that really bad. Yeah,
Seth, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come with us here on the No-No and Sus, ask questions. We really appreciate it.
I love coming here, man.
And don't forget, listeners, to check out the Shy Tunas Home Recordings 2020.
Just in my final words, everybody, mm-hmm. be safe out there. Be careful. This is the episode that's going to coincide with everything shutting down and all the events getting canceled. And I hope everybody stays clean and safe and. Check your cornhole. Hope you're going to be good.
Wash your hands.
Bleach. Yes, exactly.
Wash after the cornhole check.
Wash it, yes, and before and after.
Before and after, yeah, yes, that's exactly. The best.
That's the big thing.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me here. I love coming here. It's been a blast.
Anytime, Seth. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Wednesdays, catch Mark Davis hosting trivia at Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m. Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7 p.m. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Quiz Daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim. We owe our thanks to them and team captains. Shouts to Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron. I say David Holbrook 3 times as I thank him. 1, 2, 3, and I come with the thank you. To Lightkeepers, Nina and Michael, Manu, Matthew, and Mo Nonsense. Luke will smoke a meat that'll make your tongue sweat. Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, your support is dope, and we thought you should know. Cooper, Sean, Brina, Carly, Chris, Elise hosts a podcast where two girls sis. To Josh, Max, and Lucas, we say thanks a mil. And last but not least, thank you, Gil.
It's Gil.
We almost harmonized there. That's weird. Big thanks also to our Rumple Snailskins. We Do Stuff Podcast, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C, Michael J, and Michael S.
Michael Sluncha. Michael...
Jolly Leprechaun.
Jolly Leprechaun, yes.
And Michael
Clover.
Sluncha. If you'd like to rate us, write us, did it again.
Yeah.
If you'd like
you heard yourself yep. last time then. Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at nononsensetrivia and on Twitter at nonontrivia. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars
only, please.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
I'm on my knees begging you. Fuck.